And welcome, friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you, coming to you from my basement out here in Eastern Plains of Colorado. And on this program, we encourage Christian involvement in the arts, Christian involvement in culture and politics. We want to bring everything to the feet of Jesus. He is the Lord of all. He's not the Lord of this or the Lord of that. He's not the Lord of anything. And so as we serve our Lord and Savior Jesus, we want to be sure that we're bringing everything to his feet, that we are serving the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that includes the area of culture and the arts. And so we encourage people to get involved in the arts and bring a distinctively Christian worldview perspective to bear in that area as well. Now, last winter, my family and I headed down towards the Grand Canyon. And we want to assist in a Christian film project called O Aching Soul. And it was a great opportunity to hang out with others that were passionate about the story and passionate about bringing a Christian viewpoint into the arts. So I played a little part in the film, and my wife and children were extras in the filming down there at the Grand Canyon. And over the years, I've watched the work of Dan Knuckles develop, and I appreciate his heart, his inspiration, and above all, his love for Jesus. And he is the producer and director of this new film called O Aching Soul. And Dan Knuckles now joins us on the Generations broadcast. Dan, it's good to be back with you on this program, so welcome.
Good to be here, Kevin.
Yeah, what a great opportunity to film a project and then release it. Now, it just released a couple of weeks ago, as I recall, and so this is a big deal for your production company.
Yeah, it was a huge blessing. I'm really excited God's hand in this whole process, and it's released in June of this year, and had a budget of about $13,000 and cast and crew of about $29,000, and God just really, it was kind of a small project, by Hollywood standards, but God really blessed this project by bringing in the right people and some finances and just saw his hand kind of throughout the whole process. Excited to see what he might do with the message in reaching hungry souls for Jesus.
Hmm. Where did you get the idea for developing this film? Again, this is a short film, about 7 or 8 minutes. And where did the idea come from, Dan?
Yeah, it was a poem I wrote back in 2016. It was kind of born out of a kind of trying period in my life, pretty low time. And I don't claim to be a great poet or anything like that, but just through this time, poetry just seemed to kind of flow easier for me. And I wrote this poem during that time, and I shared it and published it with my subscribers. And even someone who wasn't, even saved, complimented the art on it. And I thought, maybe I have something here. And after I'd produced my first film, Living Word, I was kind of looking for another project to do, and so I kind of thought of doing kind of a spoken word piece, and originally I thought of using one of my other poems, but as I reviewed it, I thought, oh, that one's not that good. I'm going to use this one called O Aching Soul, and it really it kind of gets to the heart of living by faith and what idolatry looks like, and at that time in my life, God was just showing me what a life of faith looks like, and just revealing idolatry in my own heart. And that's kind of like the heart of this poem, and kind of goes for that, jugular of idolatry that all of humanity, has been plagued with ever since the fall in the garden. It seems like mankind is bent on desiring the creation rather than the creator, and loving, his gifts, loving the gifts rather than the giver. And whenever that happens, it becomes kind of an ugly thing. Whether it's good things or bad things, when it takes the place of God in our life, it becomes an ugly thing.
Well, give us a snapshot of the storyline, Dan, that you used for this short filming project, Awaking Soul. Give us the storyline.
Yeah, going into this project, I had no idea, you know, what we were going to do. I just know I had this poem that I wanted to get out to people. And so as I assembled the team, team members came on board and got some actresses and actors. And as we kind of worked together on the acting part, a story started to evolve of, you know, five college students on a road trip, and the quest is, you know, to find joy. And they're looking at everything, you know, they're looking, and each one of these five college students, each one of them has their own little idol. For one, it's her image. The other, sports. The other is control, you know, another is relationships, and others, you know, liquor and beer and that. And each one has their little idol, and what I try to do in the story is show that each one of these idols ultimately fails each one of these students, and that's when they come to the Grand Canyon, and there, you know, is the mountain man, Benjamin Breckenridge, which you played, mm-hmm. At the Grand Canyon proclaiming the truth, and at the start of the film, no one really knows, like, how they're connected, but... Mm-hmm. Throughout the film, there's kind of this back and forth going on where you're quoting this poem, you know, about their search for joy, but they're just not finding it in their idols. And they come to the truth, come to the Grand Canyon, that's where you proclaim the truth mm-hmm. and point them to Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. Who's the only one who can satisfy our souls.
Mm-hmm. Now, Dan, wow, what a incredible project. You know, you got to pack up the whole kit and caboodle and go across the country and bring all these actors and actresses together. Wow. You know, where do you get the motivation to, you know, move that freight train and bring about this great production? You know, is that, it takes a bit of faith to just launch out on a project like this, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And you know, early on in the process, you don't know exactly where you're going to go and how you're going to get there. And I just remember last year around this time, we just, you know, started on the film, and our original plan was to go to Montana and shoot in October, you know. But God had other plans for us, and so when we actually started fundraising, we said, okay, we're going to go to Phoenix, and we'll shoot in Phoenix and in the Grand Canyon. But as we're working on locations in Phoenix, we just kept hitting a brick wall. You know, nothing was turning up. And so it was late in November, just everything kind of turned on its head. And I felt that we needed to go to southern Utah and fly into Vegas and kind of approach this whole film from up north instead of down in Phoenix. And God opened up so many doors up there as far as locations and mm-hmm. hosting and churches. And but it wasn't without opposition. There was some spiritual opposition mm-hmm. in that journey of faith.
Yeah, yeah. And how did you take on the spiritual opposition? Obviously, you're trying to bring a film that's going to be powerful. It's going to have an influence in the lives of perhaps thousands of people, and you know, you face the spiritual opposition. You realize we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. How did you deal with that?
Yeah, I think the most important thing for us as a team was, you know, prayer. You know, we had a group of prayer warriors that were praying for us, and mm-hmm. that's the most powerful thing against the forces of darkness. Because anytime you step out in faith and you want to make a film about glorifying God and treasuring Him above all else, and actually take ground back from the enemy who's lied to people about idolatry and finding their satisfaction in other things, the enemy's not going to play easy, you know?
Yeah.
And there is going to be opposition. And an interesting story along those lines is it was crazy. We had all the plans set to go for southern Utah, and everything looked fine. But it was last minute that it looked like a lot of our plans would be jeopardized by just by this one individual who wasn't saved, was going to kind of jeopardize a lot of our plans, and we would have had to find lodging somewhere else. And so this is the end of December, and I'm just scrambling to find, you know, lodging for the team. Because our original spot, you know, didn't look like it was going to work out. And so I'm looking in Page, Arizona, and nothing turned up there. And finally, this is December 29th, I find a place way down in Tuba City, Arizona, that could host the team. And the crazy thing is half the team was actually on the road driving in space to the to the chute, you know, and they didn't know where they're going to go, and they were actually heading to your house, Kevin, and I appreciate hosting them, and but they didn't even know where they're actually going to end up. And so I just told that half of the team, you know, pack as many sleeping bags, you know, we don't know where we're going to stay. And the last minute, this place opened up in Tuba City, and that would have been really way out of the way. It would have really, you know, just worn us out. We would have barely got any sleep. We would have been driving all the time trying to get to locations. And so it wasn't until 10 p.m. on December 29th that this other church opened up in southern Utah that allowed us to, in spite of the opposition, to stay where we needed to stay.
Yeah. That's great.
Get the job done.
Wow. What a blessing.
It was really the hand of the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about the short itself. You know, there's a value with the short film like Awaking Soul versus a larger feature film. What do you think is the value of the short?
Yeah, the beauty of a short is just the brevity. You know, everyone is really busy these days. It's really hard to get people to sit down and commit to an hour and a half. You know, that it has to be a really good film, and they have to have a, you know, all-star cast, you know, to really get people to commit to that much time, because all of our lives are so busy right now. But the vision behind this was to craft a really short film that tells a, you know, that packs a powerful punch that would really reach the younger generation. Because, you know, an 8-minute film, yeah, they can maybe commit to that. And so the idea behind it is to kind of create a digital gospel track in video form, and so it isn't cumbersome to watch. It's really quick, but I think it kind of has the feel of a whole story in a very short amount of time.
Yeah, what were the high points, do you think, in working with the team down there at the Grand Canyon?
I think one of the best parts was working with a team where everyone just, you know, loves their Lord. And whenever you make a film about, you know, loving Jesus above all things, you know, that really winnows out a lot of a lot of people. And so the team was just great to work with. Just a lot of young people who just love their Savior. You were great to work with, Kevin. I just really appreciated how at the Grand Canyon, you were just, man, you were like, you were a trooper. We got out. What was it, before dawn?
Yeah, it was like 9 to 10 hours.
Cold.
Yeah. It was intense. But the thing that I remember and I treasure most was at the very end, you remember how we turned around, faced the Grand Canyon, and sang the doxology together? That was intense. That was good.
Yeah, and just hearing you quote the poem all day long was quite a testimony just to the team, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And to those around us visiting the canyon. And I remember there were a couple points where there seemed to be some spiritual opposition even during just these last moments in the film where we wanted to capture, you know, the sunset.
Yeah.
And we only had a little window of time, and people kept walking in the frame, and some people were getting angry, there was just some opposition there. But I think just proclaiming that over and over and over again. I mean, you had to quote it, what, couple hundred times.
Something like that. But one of the things that really got me excited was a number of the visitors to the Grand Canyon would stop and listen. And, you know, I felt like I was speaking to them, too. So there's something real about the opportunity to bring that message. It wasn't just, you know, a message brought to the extras sitting in the little bleachers there. It was also, you know, a message that was for all of us, including those that were visiting the Grand Canyon at the time. So there's something real about it. You know, sometimes I think actors can be faking the message, and I don't think we were doing that. I think we were all receiving that message throughout the day of filming at the Grand Canyon.
You know, even though we receive it and we know it, you know, it's still a fight of faith every day to treasure Jesus above all things.
Right? Yes.
That idolatry can be so subtle, right?
No, that big time.
We can actually, you know, it's a matter of the heart, too, that we can actually put our hope and trust in other things or people than Jesus. And it's so subtle, but by the Spirit's power, you know, we can put that to death each day.
Let's talk about Christian involvement in the arts as well, Dan. You know, when it comes to acting and directing and filmmaking, it seems to me that there are still some traps involved there as well. There's some idolatries, you know, involved in that as well. Sort of the seeking of fame and fortune, pride and lust creeps in. How do you avoid these traps in the arts, in the area of, you know, presentation, especially as we perform for others?
Well, I think it's coming back to the fact that apart from God, you know, apart from Jesus, you know, he said, apart from me, you can do nothing. And a lot of times artists, because, you know, we use a, you know, we're creating the image of God, and one of those attributes is the fact that we can create, you know, and oftentimes because we can create, we take pride in our little creations, and we think that we are so great because we created this work of art, you know. And that can be become idolatry. And I think just realizing the fact that apart from God, you can do nothing. I mean, he's the one who gives you your talents, your abilities, the ability to think, you know, the ability to do anything. And but humility is a huge thing, that, you know, you can't take credit for that, because if you do, you know, you're going to start down the path of idolatry and be ultimately, you know, who Satan became, right? At the fall, that or before the fall, he said, you know, I'm going to ascend to the heights. I'm going to be like the Most High. You know, he wanted to be God. He wanted to be praised, you know. And when he tempted Christ, you know, that was kind of his whole passion, is that God would worship him, right? You know, fall down and worship me. But it's insanity, right? God is worthy of praise.
Amen.
You know, he is the one who has given us all good things.
Dan, on the one hand, we want to avoid the pride in our successes, but that's no excuse to produce schlocky work. And I think, you know, we want to be sure that Christians are seeking excellence in their presentations. What are the sorts of mistakes you want to avoid in filmmaking, in your experience?
Yeah, I think one of them is to be disingenuous, to be able to show the rawness and reality of the world, you know, but to do it in a tasteful way that you're not going to defile others, you know. To show, you know, the brokenness and sin that, you know, that's a part of the narrative of salvation, but to do it without, you know, defiling your viewers. And that takes wisdom, you know, by God's word and by his Spirit. And to show that. And
What about the the sentiment or the emotional fiber of the film itself? How do you get to some depth in emotions in the film, whether it be in the music or the acting?
I think just having God's word as being, you know, central, to kind of bake the story of the gospel you know, in the story of the film, instead of, I think oftentimes early Christian filmmakers, you know, they would create a Christian film and they'd have like a sermon or something that was kind of more preaching, but not have it in the fiber of the film, so people didn't really feel or see what they were talking about. There's kind of a disconnect between the story and the message. And what I hope, you know, to do with my films and with Awaken Soul is that, you know, you were preaching at the Grand Canyon, but there was a connection, there was a real connection with the actors and actresses and what they were going through, and that people could actually experience it and feel it in a real way, you know. Everything kind of plays a part in this, the acting, the music, the sound effects, you know, the way you cut it, every little aspect, you know, tells a story, and there's a lot of work that goes into crafting a story, but you try to take every aspect and bring it under the lordship of Jesus Christ, and try to point to him in every part, you know, even music, even sound effects.
Yeah.
You know, they're all driving at one point, and that's Jesus Christ.
Give us some examples of good Christian films, some good Christian film directing and Christian films that have been produced in, say, the last 10 years or so. Dan, are there any that stand out in your mind?
Yeah, just the Kendrick brothers, I think they're doing an amazing job. They just recently shot their sixth film out in Georgia, and next year it'll be out in the theaters, I think in October. And they're just doing an amazing job, and I've had the opportunity to meet them and hear them speak at a couple of occasions, and I just, they're so spirit-filled and full of God's Word and His Spirit. And one thing I get from them and their team is that they're, you know, they're seeking the Lord every step of the way, you know, when it comes to the concept, you know, through the production, through the post-production, they're just seeking what the Lord would have them do. And they're just a great inspiration for me and my team to be faith-filled as you craft your film. And I just think their messages are so powerful, and they're not cheesy.
Right.
You know, I remember their first film, Flywheel. I don't know if you've seen that.
Yeah, I remember that. Flywheel.
Yeah, it was kind of cheesy from a you know, production side, but what encourages me is that they were faithful with what they had at that time, and, you know, what God had given them at that time. They had a $20,000 budget, and they just used the tools that God gave them at that time and did the best film, to the best of their ability at that time, and it's just grown from there. So,
yeah.
But I think the messages of the Kendricks are not cheesy at all. I mean, and that's the most important is the story, right? And that's what's going to reach hearts.
Sure. The War Room was a powerful film, and that's, I think, been the most popular thus far. And, of course, the other films relating to family relationships have had, I think, a huge influence and impact on a lot of people over the last 6 to 8 years. Well, friends, that wraps up this edition of the Generations Broadcast, a little discussion on Christian involvement in the arts. And Dan Knuckles is the producer and director of the new short, O Aching Soul. You can find more information on that at oachingsoul.com. It's also available on YouTube, and we've got a link on the front page of our website as well. So that website is oachingsoul.com. Dan, congratulations to yourself and the team for a job well done, and may the Lord bless you on future efforts.
Well, thank you, Kevin. All glory to God.
This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.